This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Lynn Mark and you're listening to Pressing Matters Right Now, the show where we discuss issues driving the press and making headlines around the world. Now, one of the big issues dominating the headlines every once in a while has been the Wang Kelian Royal Commission of Inquiry that's been conducted by Su Hakam. And one of the reporters covering that case is none other than our very own Li Xinying, news producer with BFM. And that's who I have on the show today. Thank you for joining us, Xinying.
Thank you for having me.
So set the scene for us. Where is the RCI being held at the moment?
So it's currently being held at the Home Ministry. They booked out the whole hall, the main hall at the Home Ministry for, I think, the next couple of months. So every day that the inquiry is on, we're inside that same hall.
And it's been running for a couple of months since, I believe, the end of April. So what's been the difference in terms of turnout, particularly amongst journalists, since the start of the RCI?
Interesting thing is, despite it having run for a few months since mm-hmm. April, there's only actually been 12 days. But it's felt quite long. And a lot of us usually who attend it are the same people from different media outlets. We are all just designated reporters for that case and we'll show up every day there. There'll be that one or two odd public members who are people just interested in the case. Bar council members will be there, some lawyers working on some pro bono work. And also, I think, representatives from the police side, their lawyers and, yeah, the panelists themselves, a lot of the secretariats, yeah. There's mostly all of, and I think in total, maybe about 30 mm. people in that one hall.
So it is actually open for the public to attend. But do you see that many members of the public? Because you mentioned like the odd one or two.
I think no, not really, because even the odd one or two, they could just be family or friends of the witnesses that are going up on the stand. So if you're talking about just general public, not that I've seen many, because it's quite a distance to go out to mm-hmm. Putrajaya. And if, say, you get live updates or news articles published, you wouldn't really want to make the trip down there unless you're interested in sitting there for 5 hours.
So having attended the 12 days of the RCI thus far, I mean, what is the thing that stood out most to you having observed the inquiry since it began?
Stood out, I would say, probably how it's not actually as rigid as a courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, aside from, you know, all the interesting, juicy things that the witness actually tells us.
Like what?
Oh, juicy things. Like, I think things that were not reported in the news before about the Wang Kelian case, like holding back evidence, you know, not giving it not reporting it to the police, or just contradicting information. With the police themselves, one person says they caught some illegal migrants on a roadside, and another person says, no, it was caught somewhere else. So things like that that are quite juicy. but yeah, the panelists are actually quite informal at times.
Mm.
It's funny because I've been to a couple of court sessions before, but this was very different because they actually crack jokes.
Do they?
Yes, they do. Even while actually asking the witness questions, mm-hmm. they would actually slip in some jokes here and there, especially like the chair himself, Tun Arifin. He really loves his jokes, Norian Mai as well, the deputy. And they would just sort of make slight jabs at the witnesses for some things they say.
That's interesting because obviously this is also dealing with a quite serious subject because we're talking about mass graves that were found on Bukit Wang Burma in Wang Kelian. And you wouldn't think that humour would be a part of the inquiry, but I guess perhaps it's a kind of a coping mechanism, right?
Yeah, it is. But obviously, when it comes to the really serious matters, when mm-hmm. they are asking about, you know, deaths, about the mass graves itself, the exhuming of the corpses and everything, they obviously wouldn't make jokes about mm-hmm. that. You know, there is a very distinctive line at where they make their jokes. It's mostly when, like, some of the police members sort of are unsure of what they're saying, and then the panelists will go like, but why? You know, why did you not go up the mountain yourself? Why did you not go up the hill? Oh, because I was 90 kg. And then they would say, I see, you know, and then they would make a reference back to that joke in another instance, you know. So it's little things like that. It's not really things of consequence or of relating to the human trafficking cases itself.
So in terms of the witnesses themselves, when once they have come in to give their statement, do journalists have access to them before or after?
Well, not that we try to, because mm-hmm. I think we ourselves, as journalists, we don't want to tamper with the inquiry's proceedings. I mean, if they reveal something to us that is not actually told to the panelists themselves, you know, that would just kind of mess up the whole mm-hmm. groove of the inquiry. But I did actually approach Arul Das, who was the Malay male reporter who broke the news.
Yes.
Mostly because, you know, he is a reporter himself. And the questions I asked him were kind of just relating to what he hopes the RCI would achieve and stuff, but not really pertaining to his actual witness statement. So I guess if we draw that line, it should be fine. But for the police, the policemen, they usually don't really want to speak after they give their statements.
I can imagine. So have there been any standout characters to you during the course of the trial? Any witnesses who perhaps stick in your mind?
Yes, actually. There was this policeman. His name is ASP Joking Maran Anthony. It kind of relates to why he is sort of the talk of the inquiry. Mm-hmm. A lot of us journalists were kind of awaiting for his recall. Because, well, he was a fifth witness, which was like the first week of the hearings. And subsequently after that, almost, I think, like 5-6 witnesses, his superiors actually challenged his statements. Mm. And when like, no, he what he said was wrong, he actually did say this. So it kind of, you know, put his statement in a position where the integrity is questioned. So all of us were really like excited when we heard, oh, ASP Joking's coming back. We're like, yes. And we're so excited. But when he came back on, he didn't actually stay in the stand for very long, mm-hmm. which then we looked at each other and had a bit of a disappointment in our faces. He came back to kind of clarify his statement, which was actually much, much later on.
He's gone back on the stand, right?
Actually just this week, mm-hmm. which is kind of like two months later. So he did come on, clarify everything, but he denied one of his previous statements that he made. He was like, no, I don't remember saying that. Maybe it was a typing error by the transcribers. And we were all just gasping in the room. Because if you said something and then you pull it back the second time you're trying to clarify a statement, that kind of puts you in a very bad position. But then he came back after break and just went like, oh, I'm sorry, I recalled. I actually did, you know, say that. My apologies. It just...
I can see why he would stick in your memory after that.
Yeah, he
it's been
really...
a bit of a roller coaster ride.
Yes, he is. He's someone to remember.
I'm speaking to Lee Xin Ying, news producer with BFM's own news team. Now we'll be discussing a little bit more about how she has reported on the Buang Lian case for Radio News. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Lynn Mark and you're listening to Pressing Matters, the show where we discuss issues driving the press and making headlines around the world. Today we're speaking to Lee Xin Ying, news producer with BFM's own news team, about her coverage of the Wang Lian Royal Commission of Inquiry. So earlier we were talking about some of your takeaways from the inquiry so far. But now, Xin Ying, I'd just like to ask, how have you distilled your observations into a format that's palatable for radio news?
That's
it's a large question.
It is really large, because despite me doing this for the past few months, it's still a challenge up till now. Because for radio, obviously, we work on audio recordings mm-hmm. most of the time for news. And in a setting like this, it works like a court case. You know, you're not allowed to record the proceedings. So you kind of have to rely fully on your writing to pass on the information that you want to. And for most of the other media there, the journalists, they're writing for print and online articles, so they can incorporate as much detail as they want. Mm-hmm. But for radio, you know, we're only allowed maximum 1 minute to
deliver your package.
Yes,
right.
So it's really tight, and I think that's maximum of maybe like 3-4 paragraphs. And what I try to do is I focus on trying to give color to the piece, and it's kind of like bringing the audience into the preceding gallery with you. Say someone looks very hesitant or scared, and they pause a lot. They said a lot of ums, ahs for like 30 seconds straight. You know, that's something that I want to highlight, because it shows how the witness is giving his statement. You know, is he calm? Is he not? Is he stern? That's something that I like to point out. And at the same time, try to balance the package and put in as much detail as I can about the statement itself.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time in the proceeding, I'm just trying to take notes, process it, think of angles, and at the same time try and pay attention. It's quite challenging, but it's been a good run.
It seems like you have to juggle quite a lot of things when you are observing the inquiry's proceedings. So how do you then isolate what you want to convey in a 1 minute package, as you said? Because you obviously have very little time. So how do you prioritize in that situation?
In that instance, I would sort, you know, after so many days of the hearing, you kind of get this broad idea of what is important and what isn't. For me, what I can sort of omit is, like, say they are reading out the list of evidences.
Mm.
I'm not going to tell you that, you know, there was 110 toothbrushes found. There were like 20 t-shirts or underwears found. You know, I'm not gonna list it all out for you. But the larger picture behind that, the more important key takeaway from that is, you know, what that evidence revealed, or how it was discovered, along with what was it discovered with. And most of the time, it's just sort of thinking of, if I was a general member of the public in Malaysia, what would I want to know? It would be sort of how the police are working, you know, the authorities. How have they been working through that Wang Keliang case back in 2015 up till now? Maybe how the RCI is actually running the hearing,
mm-hmm.
and just details of maybe about the human trafficking syndicates itself, because it's bigger than we think it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's bigger than we thought it was back in 2015. You know, so much details were left out back then that we can now openly report. So whatever is of interest to public knowledge, I would just try to pull that out and include that in the package.
So you mentioned a little bit earlier about the differences between how you report on things and how the print media mm-hmm. is able to report on things. Was there ever a situation where you found that they reported on things differently from you?
Yes, definitely. Most of the time, unless, you know, that day is really dry, they have a lot of closed door hearings, private sessions. Then
how often does that happen?
It's been happening quite often lately, because I think they've had a lot of like high security cases, some things to do with special branch information, you know, intelligence and maybe like Malaysia-Thai relations. So we've been like kicked out of a lot of those sessions. But other than that, on just regular days, I do report some different things, because they tend to be able to report in a sequential method. So maybe like, this witness said this last time, this is what he said, and then, oh, this time he said this. How does it relate back to everything that was mentioned before? Whereas I don't have that space to sort of point you back in time. But I would try to sort of process all the witnesses from the day.
Okay.
Say, like, the panel actually asked the same question again and again and again to all the witnesses. I would try and point that out, because then you sort of get to think and process yourself, why did they ask that so many times? Mm-hmm. What are they trying to dig out of these police officers and, you know, these authorities? What do they want to know? So that kind of gives you a sense also of the RCI's role, what they are trying to achieve, their aim, which is essentially to, you know, improve the police systems and also, you know, how to give recommendations for improving Malaysia's image. Yeah.
And generally, how many witnesses does the panel see in a single day of a hearing?
Oh, that really varies, because some days it's like 3 and other days you have like 6 or 10. You know, it depends, because some of them are not notable people. Some of them could just be the Mahkamah Rendah personnels. You know, they're just there to confirm some of the statements, read it out. They're not really part of the investigations that went on.
So not there to be cross-examined.
Yeah. So, you know, for those police officers and maybe forensic team or special branch officers who were directly involved with the case, they would sort of take longer to question them.
So as a final question, Xin Ying, how does it feel to be attending this kind of proceedings and to be listening to this kind of information? Because obviously we are dealing with a very large number of deaths, and it can seem like it would be an emotional case. Is that something that you found? Is there like a coping mechanism that you've had to utilize in order to remain objective during the inquiry?
Remain objective, yes, but sometimes, you know, when you're sitting in a hall, you're hearing a full-on witness statement from one of the human trafficking victims. You hear how they are tortured, how they have to bury their other campmates. It's not a really beautiful picture. You know, obviously, it's something that is sad. It's something that shouldn't actually even have happened in the first mm-hmm. place. But, you know, it's happened. And now we want to report it to sort of move things forward. You know, where do we go from here? How do we improve the systems? How do we keep things in check? And, you know, what ultimately is the goal of this inquiry? You know, it's to address what we did wrong in the past. How did we let these migrants enter just so freely? You know, just walking past the border stone, you know, there was no gate, no nothing. So obviously this highlights some of the things that could be improved on, like, you know, just building a gate, building a fence. Remaining objective is obviously one of the main jobs of a journalist. You know, we're there to give you a neutral and non-biased view of what's happening, including all the information that you need to know. So we try our best. Every day it's a challenge, but we still try our best. And it helps, because all of us in there, all of us journalists in there in the same room, we are there to help ourselves, help each other as well. You know, if we think there's something to point out, we'll discuss it and things like that. So it helps that, you know, you have a group of journalists there along with you as well.
Thank you for joining us on the show, Xin Ying. I've been speaking to Li Xin Ying, news producer with BFM's own news team. You can catch her coverage of the Wang Kelian Royal Commission of Inquiry in the news bulletins at the top and bottom of every hour. Now, that's all we have on Pressing Matters on the Morning Run today. Stay tuned for the 10 a.m. news after this, followed by Enterprise at BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.